Now from the book of 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 14 and 15. Peter has written, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you." This morning I want us to think of this topic, at peace with Jesus. We all have been studying here at Southwest Church the fact that this world, this earth upon which we live, is going to be dissolved. In verse 11, Peter said, "Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved." Everything that we can see will one of these days be dissolved. And that word dissolved is a word that means to unbind or to loosen. And I believe that Peter is saying that one day those things that are now bound together in atomic structure and held together by the power of God, that one day God's power of binding and holding them together will be loosened, and literally everything will come apart and everything will dissolve or change. And this is vitally connected to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 10, Peter said, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night." There's no way in the world that we can sever the ties between the day of the Lord and the Lord himself. The day of the Lord is a day in which Jehovah God will fulfill those prophesied events against the rulers of this earth, according to Psalm 2 and other psalms and prophecies that predict that God will punish, God will have his way in this earth. And is the day when the Lord Jesus Christ himself will come for his people to gather out his saints, to lift up his church, and to establish the kingdom himself. And from the Father David's throne in Jerusalem, Jesus will become King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is coming back to this earth, and the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And we've studied how the earth will be burned or melted with fervent heat. And Peter said, "Wherefore, since all these things are going to occur, make every effort to be found at peace with Jesus." Do your diligence, or do diligently. Seeing that all these things are comprehended and understood by you, since you know they're going to happen, since you believe they're going to happen and have faith they're going to happen, then seek diligently, make every effort to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, so that when he comes, you will be at peace with him. Not necessarily at peace with one another. We know that when Jesus comes, he's not going to find peace on this earth. There'll be wars and rumors of wars and fightings and division. We can't have peace among the nations and peace among the races until Jesus comes and establishes that himself, but we can be found at peace with Jesus. And we should seek peace among ourselves. Blessed are the peacemakers, so Jesus said. Not every church member, and I use the phrase church member because I want to try to include everyone who seems to have named the name of Jesus. Not every church member is at peace with Jesus. Not every church member is ready to see Jesus. Not everyone who is saved is of such a character from the viewpoint of their relationship to Jesus and their faithfulness to Him. Not everyone is willing and able to open their arms and say, "Welcome back to this earth, Jesus." The implication of verse 14 is that if we do not seek Him and seek to be found at peace with Him, there may be spots and there may be blame. I believe this is an undeniable truth. That if we are not found at peace with Jesus, that is, if we do not have an attitude of undisturbed rest in Him, then there will be a spotted character and a blamable character. And this is what we are to seek to avoid. For we understand today that some are not at peace with Jesus, that some are spotted by the filth of the world, that some are to be blamed for the life they are living outside the will of God and contrary to the Scriptures. In the same book that Brother Goodwin read from a few minutes ago, in fact, in the very same chapter, and in verse 28, John reminded his readers that there would be people, if they did not continue in the love of Jesus, who would be ashamed when Jesus comes again. 1 John 2:28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." And this word that's translated ashamed is a word that means the feeling which attends a dishonorable deed. So John is saying, live your life so that when Jesus comes and you face Him face to face, you will not have that guilt feeling that comes from having done a dishonorable and dishonest deed. But live your life abiding in Him so that when He appears, you may appear before Him with confidence, without having that sinking feeling, without having that guilt rise up in you and overwhelm you and feel as though you had committed some dishonorable act. And because we know what's going to happen, because we are aware of the end time events, because we know this earth will melt, because we know that everything we can see will be dissolved, we should let these facts motivate us, Peter says, so that we will be diligent to do the utmost and to do it in a hurry, not to delay and not to put off, to try our very best so that we may be found at peace with Him, at peace with Jesus. And this word peace means a state of untroubled or undisturbed well-being. My, how we love to have that feeling. A feeling of undisturbed well-being. Sometimes, as we often say, when everything's going our way, when we can sing that everything is coming up roses, when we can sing, oh, what a beautiful morning, oh, what a beautiful day, everything's going our way, and we seem to have made progress. And because of this, there is a settling into our hearts and souls, a feeling of well-being. We've gained a few dollars in the savings account. Things look good. Jesus has promised his people everything. But he's also taught us that there's an interim period when we must work and when we must witness, when we must do everything that he has commanded and taught us to do. And during this interim period, we're to give ourselves to him and abide in him, is the expression John used. And if we will do this, then we will have this feeling of untroubled well-being toward the second coming of the Son of God, and the day when all of these things will be dissolved and the earth will melt with fervent heat. It'll not be a troubling and disturbing thought, rather a comforting one to us. We are to be found without spot. The word that's translated spot means physically some sort of physical defect. It means perhaps a withered hand, perhaps a deformed foot, some other defect that some way, somehow keeps us from being the full, complete, and totally healthy, physically healthy person we want to be. But I know that Peter's not saying try to improve your physical body. Try to get all of the defects of your physical body. Try to get all of them some way repaired surgically or some other way, and so you'll be physically well fitted when Jesus comes again. No, it's a figure of speech. And Peter's saying, don't be so unconcerned and so weak in your life in regard to your spiritual well-being that when you see Jesus coming, you'll be a spiritual cripple. There'll be flaws and defects in the life you have lived here on this earth. Let it be a life that has spiritual vigor, spiritual maturity, and spiritual health. Not only because of the food you've eaten, the milk and meat of the Word of God, but because you have been spiritually active, exercising yourselves thereunto. And then Peter says, and be found blameless. And this word literally means to censor. It has in it the idea of criticism, of someone finding a flaw in us and criticizing us for that flaw. And Peter said, live your life. Do what the Lord says. Let the fact of this earth's dissolution motivate you so that you'll not be a spiritual cripple, and so that when Jesus comes back to this earth, he will not censure you. He will not criticize you. In an adverse an abundant fashion. I'm not perfect, and that's not a particularly startling announcement to you who know me. And I think all of us would readily admit our faults and failures and our sins and our shortcomings, because we're taught to do so. But that doesn't mean we cannot be mature spiritually and be capable spiritually and be able to function spiritually and be able to accomplish spiritually and be able to be mature children of God who have knowledge of His will and have the will to do His will. We can be these things. And this is what Peter is asking these people to be and to become, because they're conscious of all these facts he has written. And Peter said also that a proper attitude and a proper understanding of his delay is essential to not being a spiritual cripple or to not being blamed or openly criticized or censured when Jesus comes again. And he encourages them in these words: an account, that is, look upon, that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. In verse 9, Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward. In 1 Peter 3 and 20, he has used that word again. Now notice what Peter's talking about. I think this will help us to understand this verse. He's talking about the people who lived before the flood that occurred during the days of Noah. And he's talking about these who were disobedient, these lost people, which sometimes were disobedient. When once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls were saved by water. Now notice, the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while Noah was preparing the ark. And it was this attitude of long suffering and patience that allowed Noah to preach and to build the ark over an extended period of time. And every minute of every hour of every day that Noah preached and prepared the ark was a day of long suffering. God didn't have to wait. God wasn't under any obligation legally to wait. He could have wiped out the earth that quickly, but he waited and patiently waited and suffered for a long time, waiting for people to respond to the preaching of Noah. And Peter said, there are those who live in our age who are always saying, where's the promise of his coming? Literally, they're saying, well, I've always heard that Jesus is coming, but I've heard that since I was a little boy in Sunday school, and nothing has changed. Everything just continues like it has been for the last 5,000 years or more. Peter said, don't feel that way about the coming of Jesus. Don't say, well, that's just a lot of stuff that preachers have invented in order to scare people who are mentally deficient so that they'll keep them out of the beer taverns and pool halls and get them in church. That's just a lot of of guilt. They're laying on the people in a lot of frightening concepts. They're using to whip the people in line and get them to do what they want them to do. I don't think Peter felt this way at all. I know he didn't. We ought not to look upon the long suffering of God as a weakness. There are people who look at this world and say, if there was a God, if there is a God, then why doesn't he do something? Why, a God that you preach, a Jesus whom you preach, if he was really what he claims to be, he'd come back to this earth and he'd stop the inequities and the injustices that are besetting our society, and he would establish justice on this earth. He would come and he would punish the wicked and reward those who try to do what's right. See, if he was really a God of love and Jesus was who he claimed to be, he'd do that. Well, that's exactly what the Bible says he's going to do. But his long suffering toward the sinners, to the lost people, the ungodly, is so great. His love for the world is so great that he is waiting so that people will be saved. And Peter said, account the long suffering of God as God's interest in your salvation and my salvation and the salvation of so many other people. His patience in not judging the world is the very attitude that allowed me to be saved and the very attitude that allowed you to be saved. You know, when I sinned the first time, God would have been just to have taken me from this world at that time. After I reached the age of accountability, I didn't immediately believe in and trust in Jesus Christ, and God was under no obligation to extend to me and allow me to live in sin without his dear Son. But the long suffering of God waited. The long suffering of God is extended now to all of us who are saved, and especially to all who are lost. The long suffering of God is not a weakness, but an attribute and characteristic of the strength and the glory and the majesty of Almighty God. These weren't words that Peter had dreamed up in order to whip the people in line and get them to straighten up their lives. Well, Peter said, you already have read what our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you. You've had letters from Paul the apostle. And Paul has expressed the very same truths, opened up the very same facts as I am now opening to you. So these things are Bible truths and not some scary issue invented by Peter, and certainly not some frightening issue invented by this preacher. These things that Peter has written are going to happen. They're promises. They're God's promises. And God's never made a promise that he didn't keep. God never made a promise to bless that he didn't bless. God never made a promise to save that he didn't save. And God never made a promise to punish that he hadn't punished. If you're under a promise of God to be saved, you'll be saved.
If you're under a promise of God to be blessed, you will be blessed as though you are already blessed. But if you're under the promise of God for cursing, for punishment, then you will be punished. And your life will be cursed. Wherefore? Wherefore? Because we understand these things. Because we comprehend these things. Let us be diligent that we may be found of Him, at peace with Him, without any spiritual defects, without fear of being unduly censured by the Son of God when we stand in His presence. May God help us each to do His will.